are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Radio show. I'm your host, Mara Gale, actress, author, evangelist, and co-producer of the award-winning docudramedy STEM, The Movement. And you know what I love to do? I love to help people see things differently. I enjoy when a perspective is widened, when views are enlarged, because the more angles you have of a situation, the better the vantage point so that you can make informed decisions. You see, I've been blessed with experience in all sorts of areas, and I believe in my heart and soul that we all live and learn in order to teach and share. I love serving Maravation. It's the perfect blend of motivation and inspiration. I believe some of the greatest people in the world are only one word of encouragement away from being and doing something meaningful. You see, I think if more people would get outside of themselves and their situation and just look up, call up, or speak up and into the lives of others, we would experience a more productive world around us. And what better guest than the guest that I'm having to introduce, that I have the pleasure of introducing to you today, than a young man who does exactly that. He speaks up, he calls up, and he looks into the lives of other people. Today's show, we're going to have a personal, up-close conversation with Arthur Damian K. Rowe. Welcome to the OMG show, my friend Damian.
Welcome. Thank you so much. That was an awesome welcome, Mara. I can't tell you how excited I am to be sharing this platform with you right now. It's just
wonderful.
My heart is literally racing. My heart is literally racing as we speak right now, because I'm so eager to uplift someone. I'm so eager to inspire people and use my wounds as a means to heal people who are seeking healing.
Well, I'm excited to allow people an opportunity to eavesdrop on this conversation. And just so that our listeners know, tonight's conversation, we're going to be discussing the absence of accountability in our community, as well as some mental stability and in the streets, as well as in your workplace. We'll also introduce you to a concept that happens to be Damian's book title, which is Modern Day Mentor. It's a new approach to a classic proven solution. But before we get to the actual book, Modern Day Mentor, I just want to kind of introduce you a little bit to Damian, and then we're going to unpack some of his past that kind of propelled him to this place called Purpose and the release of this newest book, Modern Day Mentor. Damian is a single father of two amazing twin boys that I've had the pleasure of meeting. He was raised in Sacramento, and he comes from a pretty nice family, a pretty nice size family, and he was raised in the church. And his parents were active in his life, his whole life, as well as his siblings. And Damian also became a author, and I was a part of his first project. I believe that was your first project. I actually wrote the foreword to Damian's first project, his poetic project, and it was so incredibly powerful, wonderfully received. And I received his book recently, and I'm excited about it. It's put together wonderfully. His first book was called True Inspirations, a poetry collection, volume one. And it's available, I believe, still at like Barnes and Nobles and wherever books are sold. But on tonight's conversation, Damien, I'd like to just introduce to them some of the things that kind of propelled you to this place. You know, I know of a couple of things in your life, but I'd like to just have you expound a little bit about how in 2012, you ended up having sole custody of your two children, your two twin boys. Just kind of share, you know, what that was like, what that battle was like, and how God held you and kept you in the midst of that battle so that they can understand, you know, where your strength comes from and how you were focused and very tenacious about your approach to making sure that your two young boys had a male figure in their life and that that male figure was you. So I'll give the floor to you and allow you to share a little bit of that.
Yes, thank you. So when you talk about unpacking some baggage, I definitely have some baggage that has brought me from then to now. One of the biggest things, even prior to Mara, prior to the 2012 separation of my ex-wife and I, one of the things that I've been silent about for so many years was a dark, dark, dark time in my life where I was literally facing, 50 years to life in prison for something that I was not guilty of doing. And that is that was the devastating, most darkest rock bottom point in my life that really derailed me into depression, into fear. I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I didn't want anyone to know anything about me. I've always been an outgoing person. I'm the type of person that'll walk up and talk to anybody. That was kind of stolen from me for many years because I just kept people at a distance. And even when good people were around me, there was just a certain level or fear factor about people that were unfamiliar to me that I didn't trust. So I didn't trust a lot of people because of the circumstances that I went through. But because God is good, I was ultimately delivered from that situation. When most people would have run from that situation to flee having to be accountable to answer for something that they didn't want to answer for, I trusted God. I held on to my faith, and I ran to the problem to address it head on. And because God is good, he sent me all the right people to deliver me from that situation. So I'm just at a point in my life right now because I want to do so much more than what I have been doing. I've come to realize that I had to release myself of all of those things that was causing a fear in my life, because those very things that happened in my past were preventing me from moving forward. So because I wanted to break free from those chains again and again and again and again, I just came to the realization that I'm not going to let fear dictate the outcome of the rest of my life. And so fast forwarding to from then to 2012, I had to be faced with another unfortunate decision, which was separating from my then wife because there was just so many problems in the relationship that I wasn't able to find any resolve for. And I knew that if I didn't make a decision to do something sooner than later, my kids would be out adversely affected by whatever the outcome of those problems would have been. So because I was a child who grew up from that, I made a commitment within myself that I was not going to allow my children to be exposed to what I had to go through when I was their age. So here we are.
Amen. Amen. And excuse me, sorry about that. And you raising your boys as as a single dad, I should say, or having sole custody of them, what have you learned from that about yourself? Because having children in a household teaches you some things that other men may not be able. Having children in a household and being the person who feeds them and clothes them and gets them ready for school and picks them up and takes them to other outside activities, for me, it is the foundation, and this is just my own perception, it is the foundation for modern-day mentor, because the first mentor your boys are seeing is you. So share with us, you know, what that concept was like, what your learning curve to being able to do that was like, what it if it stunted or if it caused your personal relationships with people to grow, because that's got to be a challenge. You can't just go out and hang out or even date in some instances when you have two young kids in the house. And most people are used to hearing this story from a woman's point of view and the sacrifices that a mother makes or the sacrifices that a woman makes in those situations. But very rarely do we get a chance to pull back the curtain and understand what a male may have went through, which is why I think modern day mentor is so important when we get to that conversation, because this, how you handle your children and or how you have made that such a priority in your life is going to be the foundation that will then allow people to understand why this book is so important.
So very good. Very good analogy. And you're firing on all cylinders. I wouldn't change anything you said. So before we try to understand the concept of modern day mentor, for whoever's listening to this show live, or even for those who may be tuning in when the show is over on the replay, I want you to unlearn what you think you know. I want you to literally try to unlearn what you think you know about what you don't know. And here's why I'm saying that. Most of us, including myself prior to writing this book, most of us have been conditioned our entire life to think and operate in a bubble, in a certain way. You were always taught, if you're anything like me, you were always taught to go to school and be good and get good grades so that you could get a good job and make good money. Many of us were all taught those same steps, and many of us followed that because that's what our generation before us, that's what they knew to tell us. So the reason I want you to try to unlearn what you've been taught most of your life is because in order to understand something from a modern day perspective, you have to be willing to rid yourself of what you think you know. Because Modern Day Mentor is that book that will show you everything that you thought you knew, but you really didn't know. And so I want to encourage the concept of thinking outside of the box. And in order to think outside of the box, you have to be willing to strip yourself of yourself and invite new ideas in. So when I wrote this book,
Damian, before you get to that part, we've got a caller on the line, and then I want to back up because my purpose for talking about what it's like for you to raise the boys as a single dad is because that's a part of the foundation that'll give us more payoff for the modern day mentor. So give me a moment. We've got a caller on the line. Caller, the last four digits are 0988. If your last four digits are 0988, you're on live with OMG. I'm Mara Gale, and of course, Damian Rowe. Welcome to the conversation.
Hi, this is his big sister calling to support and encourage. I'm very proud of him and his accomplishments.
Wow.
What's your name, big sister?
Tammy.
Hi, Tammy. Welcome to the conversation.
Yes, so I just wanted to call in and support my brother and all of his accomplishments. And, yes, we both are single parents, so I'm very proud of him. And just wanted to encourage those who are listening to pick up his book and support the cause and just let him know that we're all proud of him and he's doing a great job.
So, Tammy, I got a question for you because you know him up close and personal, and I know he's appreciating the words that you're sharing with him now, but because you know him personally, is there something that you could say about why you feel your brother has been a great example for a modern-day mentor? Because, of course, you know him up close and personal. So share just a sentence or two or a tidbit or a fact about your brother that actually is a part of why you know he's a modern day mentor. Has he mentored, has he been a mentor to some people in your family? Has he been that rock in your family? Something in that way so that our listeners can actually understand that even in the family, he's been that kind of an example.
Well, I mean, being a mentor is a big responsibility. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you can't, you have to be able to step up to the plate and take it all on. And he definitely is someone who takes things head on, all types of obstacles and just, you know, personal situations that have gone on in his life, he's turned them into his writing and expressing himself that way. So I think that that also comes in a part of being a leader as well as being a mentor, because you really can't step out there and be a mentor if you're not taking on the role as a leadership. Being that we were, you know, raised and brought up in the church, there's the spiritual part of it. There's the, you know, just the trial and error and going through things that help make you a better person, to turn all that negativity into mentoring and being a positive man as well. We all have boys. All of us have boys. So it is very important to shine as a man these days, because this is a tough world and our boys need to have a strong, you know, guidance in their life.
Amen.
So I think that part
thank
is
you.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you, Tammy. I know he appreciates you calling in, but I appreciate you dialing in as well. Thank
Amen.
You so much.
Oh,
awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Good luck to you.
Thank you so much. Hope you become a long-time listener. So, Damian, I'm going to piggyback on that. I know that was awesome, huh? It's not often that I know you get to hear your siblings kind of gloat about you, and I know what that's like. So whenever I get, you know, the kudos from my family, even though it means a lot to me when other people give it, but when family gives it, because you know, they know what you used to be like. They've seen your Achilles heel. They've seen your trials, your troubles, and watched and witnessed your tears. So when they come and give it back to you, it means that much more. So I know that meant a whole lot to you.
And we're gonna
open up the floor for callers in about another 15 minutes. I'll go ahead and put out a plea and I'll ask people to call in. But I want to make sure that we seize in the foundation of this conversation so that by the time I get to opening the lines for questions, they'll have more that they can ask you about. So why don't you go ahead and, if you can, kind of go back and tell me what the responsibility of being a single father, how that has been for you, how you were able to do that, what sacrifices did you make along the way in terms of dating or things of that nature, maybe even financial sacrifices in order to make sure that that was done in an appropriate way.
So when I knew I was going to be faced with the decision of terminating my marriage back in 2012, I knew it wasn't going to be easy, Mara, but I also didn't know it was going to be this hard. And everything that I've accomplished in my life, just to be transparent and just blatant, everything that I've accomplished in my life, I accomplished it simply by stepping out on faith. That's the best answer that I could give anyone, whether I'm on a radio show, a TV show, or if I'm just talking to somebody on the street. That's my go-to response for those types of questions. Everything that I achieved in my lifetime, I did it by faith because that's how I was raised. I was raised to believe in my faith, and my faith has gotten me through many, many dark storms. You got to remember, as a leader, when my kids were born, I said to myself, one day when my kids become of age, I am going to encourage them and pretty much require them to pursue a higher education. And that means, you know, I don't know where you're going, but wherever you end up, you're going to college. I believe in learning. I believe in higher learning, and I believe in education. So I started thinking within myself, what kind of leader am I going to look like in the future? if I'm standing before my adult children and I'm telling them how important it is to go to college, but then they find out that I never went. So then I had to put myself in their position. I had to put myself into a position of a child who was questioning their parent and saying, you know, Dad, if higher education and higher learning is so important, how come you never went to pursue your degree? So I didn't want to get caught into that trap. So in order for me to stay out of that trap, I knew I had to be about the business of earning my degree. So I did earn my degree in business management in 2009. So now that's like one check off my bucket list. So now when it's time for my kids to go to college, I now have leverage and I now have a foundation to stand before my children and say, you know, go where you want to go, but higher learning and higher education is important. If I can do it, you can do it. You can't stand before a group of people and say, if I can do it, you can do it, if they find out you never did it. And that's where mentoring really started to conceptualize in my mind. So a lot of what you are going to ultimately hear in Modern Day Mentor are going to be based on theories and experiences and trials and tribulations that I've overcome over the years that I'm now trying to help other people overcome.
Understood. That's great. And along the way, were there some sacrifices that you made in raising your children as a single father? I mean, did you, like,
yes.
I'm trying to, you know, yes. Because that's the part, Damien, that I believe, because my audience is mixed, but I have a lot of women, female listeners. And again, women are used to, like your sister said, she's, you know, a single parent raising her kids. I want to hear about the struggle or the sacrifice of being a single dad. I mean, you've got to be the soccer dad. Like most women are the soccer mom. You've got to be the person when they're sick to figure out if your boss is going to let you off to take care of them with that cold or to take them to the doctor or to make sure they get their physical. I would like for the listeners to kind of hear a male perspective, because I've had a lot of women on this show and I haven't had as many men. So I'm trying to get the male perspective in so that they can hear your sacrifices and some of the things
Absolutely.
You did raising the boys.
So when my ex-wife and I split up, my kids, I have twin boys. And they were 3 years old. And so prior to me separating and terminating the marriage, I really didn't have to, you know, as the man in the house, I didn't have to worry about, you know, filling out papers for school enrollment, filling out immunization cards for the doctor's office and setting up dentist appointments. I didn't have to worry about any of that at all. My then wife took care of that. But from the moment we were on our own, like, I started wearing two hats overnight. So I was the one finding out about childcare. You know, how am I going to be able to maintain my career and not get put in a position where they looking at me like, if you're not going to be able to make it to work on time, we're going to have to let you go. So that was a big challenge for me. But thanks be to God, I had a village, Mara. That's the short answer to your question. I had a strong village. I had people in my village who saw my situation, who cared for me enough and cared for my children enough to say, you know what, I see this as becoming a challenge for you. We got you. My kids had their child care was taken care of. They got to the doctor appointments on time, the dentist appointments. Most of my struggle was financially because for many years, like almost 6 years, I did mostly everything financially by myself. And even during the times I was, getting help, it wasn't very much help. It was almost the equivalent of getting no help. And so I started trying to figure out ways how to make this situation easier for me. So what I ended up doing was just going back to my roots, because I was raised by a single mother. And I saw the struggles and the challenges that my mother had to go through raising my sister and I. So what I really ended up doing with my boys is just really mimicking and copying what I saw other single women doing as they raised their kids when I was much younger. And so if there was a situation where I didn't know what to do because of those previous life experiences, I knew who I could call to say, Auntie, you know, they're asking for this document and this paperwork. What should I do? Or now they're requiring me to have this. Where should I go? There was always somebody in my village for me to go to. So I was never, like, really stuck out in the cold and not knowing what to do. But, yes, it was a financial sacrifice. It was physical sacrifice as well. And by physical sacrifice, I mean, you know, there was times where when my kids got sick, let me tell you about me and my kids. Me and my kids, from day one of them taking their first breath, have been like bacon and eggs. Anybody who knows me knows that I am over-the-top protector, like alpha male wolf when it comes to my kids. And when my kids would catch a cold, so my kids have side-by-side beds since they were like 4 years old. When my kids would catch a cold and was having problems breathing at night, I would be finding myself up late at night on a computer doing my work, and I would hear them breathing all crazy. And when it was time for me to go to bed, Mara, I wouldn't jump into bed and just lay down away from them. I would put like a blanket or sometimes even like a sleeping bag on the floor in between their beds simply so I could hear them breathe at night. Because for me, it's like I'm all they got. And if one of them is in distress with their breathing because they're sick, I don't need to be in the next room sleep. I want to hear it right away because I don't want to come in here in the morning and find my child unresponsive. So that's been my level of dedication to raising my kids. But again, it's based on how I saw other people caring for me and my sister as we were growing up, being raised by that single mother. And so I'm just mimicking that. And there were a lot of legal challenges. There were a lot of legal challenges. And if anybody's listening out there right now and you're going through legal battles concerning your kids and a divorce or custody, here's one thing the people in my village taught me. And I was a knucklehead about this in the beginning because I was so angry at the things that led up to my separation. That was all I could focus on. So somebody who loved me enough and who saw greatness in me enough sat me down and said to me, if you love your children in the way that I know that you do, I want you to stop focusing on her and everything that she's doing, and I only want you to start focusing on your kids. Because when you turn all that negative energy and frustration and bitterness and anger into doing for your kids, the things that you want to happen are going to fall in place by default when you change your focus. And that's what I did.
That's good.
And
that's
when I started
you know,
focusing,
and that also – Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mara.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
And so when I started focusing on that, I said, wait a minute. I'm starting to see favorable results. So my perception, and remember, I said before, I'm encouraging people to think outside the box. Do something that's out of the norm for you, and out of the norm results will show up. So what I did was when I started seeing things happen for me in my favor, I had to really humble myself because there were times where I was still mad and I didn't want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit was telling me to get somewhere and sit down and be still, I didn't want to be still because I was too angry and I hadn't fulfilled my will yet for the situation. I had to have the last say so. But I just stayed
humble.
Before you move on from
that point, Damien, I got to piggyback in because this is how I do the dialogue conversation. Is you were saying about how you've got to take the focus off of the anger and put the focus elsewhere. And I got to get in there and unpack that because that's with marriage, that's with breakups, that's with job loss, that's with financial depletion. The moment we focus on the problem gets bigger. Objects in the mirror appear larger because the more attention and the more oxygen, the more resources that you give to it, the bigger the situation gets. And so focusing on the ex-wife or the ex-boyfriend or the ex-job or the ex-boss or the ex-car that you used to drive and now you're on the bus stop, those kinds of putting that kind of weight and energy on any situation can cause you to derail because what it means is you're looking in a rearview mirror. And if you're trying to go forward looking in a rearview mirror, your only outcome is to crash. And so that's why I wanted to put a pin in that and kind of unpack it a little bit because that's a really good point. And And you do. You see results after that. You always will come out on top when you, A, do not push shade or negative energy towards anybody, and when you take the same amount of energy and the same amount of effort and you put it towards the direction of where you want to go to. I tell people often, you know, when they say, you know, I don't have enough money to do this, I don't have enough money to do, you may not be able, you may not have enough money to do that, A, B, and C, but you do have enough money to do E, F, and G. But if you keep focusing on what you don't have, if you keep focusing on how you don't have enough, then you'll never understand the abundance in which we should really operate. And that's what makes this conversation so healthy. You have, against all odds, become a single parent of two amazing young boys, and you've been doing it wonderfully, remarkably. I've seen the young boys, and they're well-adjusted, and they're thriving in school, yes. And therefore the platform is set for them to thrive in life. And now you've also given them a pure example of a dad who went back to school to get his degree so that there's no excuse about what they can accomplish. And that's part of why I wanted you to come on the conversation and unpack modern day mentor. I'm going to take a little short pause for the cause. We're going to go to a commercial. And when we come back on the other side, I want to dig into the book. I want to dig into modern day mentor, and I want to ask you a couple of things about a couple of chapters in that. You're listening to OMG, the O. Mara Gayle Radio Show. I'm your host, Mara Gayle. My special guest today is Damian K. Rowe, and we will be right back after this short commercial break.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org, brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to OMG, the O. Mara Gayle Radio Show. I'm your host, Mara Gayle, and my special guest today is none other than Damian K. Rowe. He's the author of a wonderful book called Modern Day Mentor, and the caption is The Prosperous Guide to Mentoring, Personal Growth, and Leadership. So, Damian, I want to dig into this book because I want to make sure we give it the bulk of our time so that we can kind of dissect it and then direct people to where they may be able to support you. In your first chapter, you talk about a healthy diet for success. Just give me an overview of what you mean by that so that our listeners' appetite, that's a pun on the diet word, so that our listeners' appetite is actually stimulated by some of the things that you share.
Yeah, so that title came about because my whole life, and I'm sure you can agree with this as well, I've always heard people, you know, right around the holidays from like Thanksgiving into the New Year, you hear people talk about, you know, on January 1st, I'm going to start my diet. You know, I don't know what it is about January 1st and diets, but nobody wants to start it before January 1st. They all want to start it in the New Year. And so my perspective from that chapter was, you know, garbage in, garbage out. And another thing that triggered that idea was that
garbage in, garbage out. Break that down. Garbage in, garbage out. Come on, that ain't no common phrase. Come on, break that down for the girl.
Oh yeah. You can't go eat out at McDonald's and Jack in the Box and Wendy's every night and expect your body to be chiseled and cut up in all the right places. You can't do that. That's garbage. So if you put garbage in, ultimately you're gonna get a garbage result. So transition from that to the healthy diet for success. So when you have a healthy diet in your everyday living, you're thriving, you know, you're not tired after going up a half a flight of stairs. That mile jog becomes a 2.5 mile run. You know, that walk around the neighborhood becomes a 5 mile hike, and the same is applied into your personal life. So whatever career field you may be in, if you're not thriving in that field, it could be because of something that you're not doing. And so when I say garbage in, garbage out, how you think about the career you have, like your attitude, you've heard the term, your attitude determines your altitude.
Absolutely.
So I applied that same principle in this chapter. Your attitude towards success determines the outcome of whether or not you are successful. So if your attitude or if your diet for success of stuff that you're going to take in, if you're taking in the concept that suggests opportunities are always going to be brought to you and landed at your feet, that's not realistic in today's modern society. You can't sit around and watch the grass grow waiting for somebody to throw you a bone. Life just doesn't work that way for leaders. Maybe for average people, but if you're not an average person, you are constantly going to be about the business of pursuing above average things. So that's how that chapter, Healthy Diet for Success, came about. And it just shows people it just shows people in corporate America how you can get from point A to point Z successfully and not really have to focus so much on complaining along the way when you start to see that certain things you hope for in your life are not coming to pass. If it's not coming to pass, it may be not because an opportunity your employer is putting in front of you, but maybe it's not coming about because your employer doesn't ever hear you speak up on it.
Yeah. And you know what, when you're sharing about the garbage in, garbage out, and having that healthy diet, and you're absolutely right, most people start that diet at the beginning of the year. I'm guilty of that. But I also want to say this. You know, a part of being successful is, when you talk about garbage in, garbage out, is eating on the healthy thing. If we want to be successful in business, then you should have, when I look at your bookshelf, your books should be reflective of people that have been successful in business, or your digital book, your ebook should be reflective of that. If you want to be successful in business, I should see you at networking events trying to figure out how to navigate that terrain, how to network with other people, people with like-minded. On LinkedIn, that should be where you should be, more so than Instagram or Facebook. So if you're eating Facebook and Instagram and you're trying to be this successful business leader in a traditional sense, and you don't have a LinkedIn account, then that's a part of eating the garbage and expecting to get, you know, promoted, or expecting to get contacts that'll thrust you into another dimension. Even if your spending habits, if you aren't looking at investing and you want to be a stockbroker, for example, and you're only figuring out how to, you know, use all of your money as a consumer buying shoes and clothes and hair, you know, you can't quite, you're not eating the right things to afford you the kind of success that you're going to need if you want to be a tax or a financial broker, if you want to work on Wall Street. It's the same as an actress. You know, as an actress, I can't watch TV as a consumer. I'm watching TV to see what choices they're making. I'm not being entertained by TV. I'm being educated by TV. And I'm sure, correct, as an author, we have to listen, we have to read books voraciously to see what content is being said, how people are painting pictures, the imagery of it. So that garbage in, garbage out, it's like wax on, wax off. It's a part of the foundation that makes you an astute leader, that also makes you an excellent listener, and that propels you into the right space to be an effective mentor, or better yet, a modern day mentor, as my friend would say. So let me ask you about this other chapter I thought was very, very interesting as well, how to identify your passions. It's your chapter 4, how to identify your passions. Share with our listeners some of the, just a couple of tips on how you believe they can identify their passions, because one of the things that I've come to understand, realize, and know to be true, most people, they're excited about something, or they think they're good at something, but they're not sure it's a passion. It may be something that they like to do, but they don't know if it's their passion. So give them a couple of tips, unpack a couple of tips on how they can identify their passion.
So here's the first thing to remember, and this is a good, these are some good nuggets to write down if you're taking notes, either on the live broadcast or the replay. In order to identify your passions, you must first be able to identify your gifts and your talents. And I'll give you a very quick example of that. Going back to something you asked me before the commercial break, one thing that I learned I was failing at during the onset of this custody battle that I had to endure for 6 years, I was putting the focus on the wrong things. And so at some point in time, as I started to listen to the wise counsel of wise people who wanted to see me win so that my kids could be in a better situation, I had to humble myself.
Yeah.
And then the Holy Spirit sent me a voice that said to me this: you have a gift and a talent. with that ink pen and a piece of paper to write. Mm. When you touch that ink pen to the paper, even if somebody doesn't know you, by the time they finish reading what you wrote, it's like they could vividly put themselves there. It's almost like they were there with you. And so God showed me that my gift and my talent was writing. So how did I use that to the benefit of myself and my children? Instead of fighting, you know, all these negative people who are working against me, instead of fighting them on the street and embarrassing myself and my family and screaming and hollering back and forth with people, I started fighting in court. So when something wasn't going right for my kids, rather than wasting my time and energy screaming at somebody and hooping and hollering, I simply went online, downloaded some court forms, printed them out, and whatever I had to say, I said it in a court document and I filed it with the court. And there's not many times that I went to court fighting for my kids where I didn't win. So that is the concept that I put into this book. When you are doing something for the right purpose, you're going to identify what your gifts and your talents are. So in this chapter you're talking about, there's actually a worksheet there. I don't know if you saw it yet, but there's a worksheet that I want people to mimic, and it's very powerful. Because whatever your goals are, if you're not writing down your goals on a piece of paper that you stare at every single day, like you're carrying it in your wallet,
in your purse, or in your pocket.
And another thing I want to say too, Mara, is if you finally identify what your goals are, for every goal that you have listed on a piece of paper, if there's not a due date to match that goal, you don't have a goal. You have an idea. A goal and an idea
are two different things. You know that I tell people that's a part of my midwifery thing. I tell people you are not pregnant until you have a due date. It's impossible to give birth to anything, impossible to give birth to a baby without a due date, impossible to give birth to a vacation without a due date, impossible to give birth to a book without a due date, impossible to give birth to a business venture without a due date. You must have a due date. I've been preaching that as a midwife for years because I believe a lot of people have good ideas, and everybody, good ideas are a dime a dozen. But are you doing the things that you're supposed to do, and are you pursuing it with reckless abandonment, not allowing anything or anyone to get in your way? And the reason that this chapter really kind of stood out to me is IDing your passion takes some time that you have to spend to figure out what they are. What things do you like? What do you dislike? What do you just do because you've been doing it? What type of things actually jazz you, give you excitement, bring you joy? What type of things are you really, really good at? Like the worksheet talks about, strengths and weaknesses. Once you take the time to self-assess your talents, your gifts, and then I tell people, Damien, to go a step further, which is ask some of the people close to you what they believe you're good at, because your friends, they know what you're good at. They know what you stink at. They know what you complain about, and they know what you get excited about. So ask your circle of peers or friends what they believe you're good at. People know me, even though this is not on my resume. I am a room regulator. I come into a place, if it's out of order, I'm going to come in and I'm going to add some order to it. Now, I don't like to do that in terms of getting paid to do it, but as your friend and as your family member, if I come to an event and I see that things aren't set up right or things aren't clean or organized right and the food isn't set out, I'm going to, without you asking, I'm going to walk into a room and I'm going to naturally do that. That's a part of me identifying strengths. Now, it's not something I want to get paid for, therefore it's not a passion, but it is a part of a strength of mine. It is a gift that I have. And so once we take the self-assessment, I believe we'll get more payoff on identifying what the passions are, and take the assessment in terms of you looking into what you're good at, what you like, what jazzes you, makes you happy, and also ask some people around you what they think or believe or have witnessed you being good at, because you'd be surprised. People around you will tell you something, and you'll be like, oh, I just do that for fun. They're like, yeah, but you're brilliant at making those cakes, or you're brilliant at knitting those sweaters, or you're genius at taking a story and crafting it into poetry, as I know you're good at, Damien. You're taking stories and crafting the words onto page. You know, I think you're absolutely good at that. And so I'm sure your friend would identify that as one of your passions, and I'm sure the world is going to know it because of your book. Go ahead.
So let me insert something there real quick. So you know as well as I do, that there's a scripture in the Bible that says faith without works is dead. correct?
Is dead.
So since we know faith without works is dead, when you apply that to goals and due dates, it's the same concept. This is that thinking outside the box mindset. So it's the same concept that suggests if you don't have a due date to your goal, then that's faith without works, because a goal without a due date is also dead, because the due date is what puts fuel and drive into your vehicle to get you to the goal. So if you don't have a due date, you really don't have a goal, because your idea becomes null and void. It's dead if there's no end date for you to reach the goal. It's never going to happen. And those are the people you have conversations with year after year after year after year, who are going to retell you what they told you 5 years ago. I'm working on a book. Well, we're 10 years after the fact, and the book still isn't out yet. And the reason why the book isn't out yet is because it still doesn't have a due date 5 years later.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're listening to Damian K. Rowe, author of Modern Day Mentor. You're also listening, of course, to the OMG Omara Gale Radio Show. I want to let you guys know that this show also becomes a podcast after it has aired. It's available via podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and the Stitcher app. We also have an Up to Me app we'd love for you to download. And you can check out our show page at up2meradio.com so that you can find out about some of our other shows. Right now, we're going to take a quick pause for the cause. And when we come back on the other side, we'll discuss maybe one more chapter, and then we'll let you know how you can reach Damian, keep in touch with him, as well as how you can pick up your copy of Modern Day Mentor. We'll be right back after this announcement.
Hey everyone, let's all stop what we're doing and take a moment. You see, every moment can be kind of special. But they can be loud moments, goofy moments, dorky moments, it doesn't matter. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to OMG, the Omara Gale Radio Show, where we, of course, as you've just heard, use content to actually place your product in front of our listeners. So if you have a product, a company, or a service that you'd like to share with our listeners, we have a wonderful way of implementing that into our service, just as we did with that PSA you just heard. And I'm Mara Gale, and my special guest tonight is none other than Damian K. Rowe, the author of Modern Day Mentor. So listen, Damian, I have a toss-up for you. Either I'd like for you to share about time management and accountability, which is kind of predictable because we're used to hearing about it, but your take on it is interesting. So it's either that one or Knock It Off. It's because Knock It Off was such a unique title. I know. I'm like, okay, so we've just answered that question. Go ahead and share a little bit with our listeners about Knock It Off. Because people need to knock
Mara,
it off.
Mara, here's what I want to encourage people to knock off immediately. And again, I'm saying this to really empower you. I'm not saying this to put anybody down. I'm not saying this to demean anybody, but it's a growing epidemic on social media that I want to encourage you as a leader to knock it off.
What is it?
It is the people who are all over social media telling the world and trying to convince us all that because you posted pictures of your vacation you're on, you are living your best life. I need you to knock that off. Listen.
You mean people prophesying?
I'm telling you, in just a matter of time, Facebook is going to become Fakebook. When you say you are living, I want people to get this for real. And I really want you to think about this, and I don't care how many times you have to listen to this over and over, I really want you to sink this in. When you say you're living your best life, I want you to focus on the word best. Best. We spend most of our life as it is trying to get to where we are and where we still strive to be from where we're currently at. So when you say out loud, I'm living my best life, what you're really saying psychologically is I don't deserve anything greater beyond this point. I'm living my best life, so there's nothing possibly better that I can achieve than what than where I'm already at in my life. So one thing that I'm saying throughout this book, Mara, and that I teach when I speak to people is speak life. When you speak life into your life and when you speak life into the life of other people, life happens. When you say you're living your best life, you're really diminishing your blessing before God has an opportunity to even lay it at your feet, because you're already telling, it's like saying to God, God, I know that you have the power to give me above and beyond where I'm already at, but thanks, but no thanks, because I'm already living my best life. When you say you're living your best life, you're actually saying there's nothing greater from this point forward, and that's a lie. That's a lie.
So let me ask you this. I'm going to play angel's advocate with you. So if I say okay. I'm living my best life in this moment, is there no such thing as better life or greatest life? Or, I mean, so can you put some hot sauce on that and it be even better than best? Because better is better than best, right?
So, okay, you want some hot sauce. I'm going to give you some Red Rooster and some Red Dot at the same time on the same piece of catfish, okay?
Go ahead.
So here's my solution to that. Okay, I just told you, speak life. So when I speak life into my situation, me personally, I say, Lord, I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for what you're doing in my life right now. And, Lord, I thank you for what you're getting ready to do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to say I'm living my best life to say all that. But when you say, Lord, I thank you in advance for what you're getting ready to do, you're not standing on the premises of what your gifts and talents are. You're leaning on God. Because you don't give yourself the increase. God does that. So if you know God gives the increase, why not thank him in advance for what you already trust that he's going to give to you?
No, you have no disagreement or argument on that. I'm a power of the tongue person. I don't even say you can kill two birds with one stone. I say you can bless two angels with one kiss, because I think it gives you an opportunity to pucker up for something sweet, and killing birds sounds cruel and evil. So I am into completely the power of the tongue. I speak life. I speak death. Every word is a seed. I'm 1,000% on that page. I'm asking in particular because I believe when I say I'm living my best life, and the reason I'm saying that is I don't want anybody to think, as you were sharing that they haven't read that on my page, because I am living my best life today. That doesn't mean my life isn't going to be better tomorrow, or that I can't live my best life tomorrow and the next day. Every day I'm endeavoring or striving to live my best life in that day, in that moment, in that 24 hours that God gives me when I lay down and I play back the tape of, okay, did I do not just the laundry list of the to-do list, but the laundry list of, did I offend anybody today? Did I, you know, so that I can actually ask for forgiveness for the things that I do know that I did, as well as the things that I don't know that I did. And, of course, to be grateful for every experience, every interaction that took place for that particular day. And so I believe that there are levels. Absolutely. I want
to
hear you. That's why I'm having that conversation.
So I'm going to pedal backwards a little bit. And to confirm what you just said, and here's how I'm going to confirm it.
I'm going to ask you real quick. I got to ask you to pedal back in 2 minutes because we're at 8 minutes till the end of the show, and the show ends actually at 6:58. So you got about 2 minutes to pedal back, and then we're going to go forward so I can get your social media information and how they can get your book.
So why what you said, I'm confirming what you said, is because anybody listening to this show will stand in agreement with you and I in that we all know that tomorrow is not promised to us. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. So because we are not guaranteed tomorrow, all we can do is live in the moment. You don't have – who told you you have until January 1st of 2020 to start your diet? Who told you was going to live that long? Who told you was going to see tomorrow? So when you start looking at it like from that perspective, we don't have tomorrow. We don't have 10 more hours from now. We just have right now. And right now, as you just said, is the moment. So, yes, live in the moment. But while you're living in the moment and while you're trying to develop those habits of speaking life into your life, take the time that you have in this moment right now to say, Lord, I thank you for tomorrow. Because when you say, Lord, I thank you in advance for tomorrow, even though it's no guarantee to any of us, you're telling God, you're showing God in advance your appreciation And he is the one who wakes us every day. You see what I'm saying? We don't wake up because our alarm clock went off. We wake up because God is good.
Amen. We do. Absolutely. I agree with you 1,000% on that. I want to give my listeners an opportunity to reach out to you, Damien. So share with our listeners your social media handles as well as your website, and then I'll ask you some questions about your book and how they can get it.
Anybody on Facebook can look me up under Another EP. That's E as in Echo, P as in Peter. Another EP Publishing Company on Facebook. And on Instagram, you can find me at DKW_mentor.
Excellent. Do you have a website?
I don't have a website. My only website that I have currently is barnesandnoble.com. And the book is not on barnesandnoble.com, but it will be by the end, of next week. And I will post that the publishing page on Facebook. So please like my page for Another EP Publishing Company. And when we go live online, you'll be notified that immediately that the book is available at online retailers.
Wonderful. So you're saying the book will be available at online retailers in about another week. So that's June. What's the actual give date? June.
So let me look
here. About June 6th or 7th? Friday is the 7th.
We're looking actually at June 8th.
Okay, so June 8th over the weekend. All right, so this is what I'm going to ask you to do to help us let people know how to reach you and to get in touch with you for your book. Once you have that link, share it with us, and we'll put it on my show page so that people can just click on the link from the show at uptomeradio.com. They will find you there in case they, you know, can't remember or recall where you told them to reach you on social media. And that way they can reach you and they can hit you up and then find out, you know, get a direct link to Barnes & Noble or Amazon or wherever else you happen to share the book. Damien, you have been an awesome guest. I thank you so much for your time. I thank you for
your
energy.
Thank you.
I thank you for your wisdom and your nuggets. I pray that God blesses your book, The Modern Day Mentor. I pray he gives you additional opportunities to be a mentor to not just those, because we were actually going to talk about some of the mental illness stuff, but I need you guys to know in this book, he gives some tools and tips on how we can help people in their workplace and actually help identify mental illness in some cases. And it's really important that we do that because you know what's going on in our country and you know it starts with effective leadership. So I'm just going to leave that there. Damien, thank you. You guys.
Your listeners one more thing? If you are in if you are going to be in or near the Los Angeles area on Saturday, June 15th, from the hours of 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., the debut, very first book signing for Modern Day Mentor is going to be at Zara's Bookstore in the city of Inglewood, and I will post that on the Facebook page for Another EP Publishing Company, so go there and look for it. All of your listeners are invited to attend the debut book signing of Modern Day Mentor Saturday, June 15th, from 2 to 4 p.m. at Zara's Bookstore in Inglewood, California.
Awesome. Thank you so much. You guys are listening to OMG, the Omara Gale Radio Show. You can reach me at maragale.com. You can reach me on social media, on Instagram, LinkedIn, as well as Facebook at Maura Gale. That's M-A-U-R-A-G-A-L-E. That's Gale, like shoes on sale, no Y, no I. And, of course, my film, STEM the Movement, is also available. All you have to do is go to maragale.com to receive that. And, of course, I'm available on amazon.com. And I need to tell you this. Tune in and subscribe to iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher app so that you can be alerted and notified when my next show has been canned and turned into a podcast. Damien, again, we thank you. We hope you guys have an amazing afternoon. And no matter what you do, don't forget, set a due date because nobody gives birth without one. God bless you.
Amen.
Wanting. Everyone. everyone likes to be heard and then listened to. So we want you to set your dial to OMG on Thursdays at 7 o'clock p.m. Oh.